Dear Asian Girl, for Asian girls, by Asian girls. Hi everyone, welcome to Dear Asian Girl. If any of you are like the first time ever listening, my name is Genesis McPio. I go by she, her pronouns, and I am one of the podcast co-hosts. And I'm here with my lovely other co-host, Alina. She's gonna do a brief introduction first, but I just thought we'd talk about like the first episode, what Dear Asian Girl is and etc. If any of you don't know what Dear Asian Girl is, it's a podcast dedicated to uplift and support Asian girls everywhere. And specifically this season, we are doing Protect Our AAPI Community, and the episode that we are doing is called Deep From Within, and it's going to be basically about internalized sexism, which I'll go into eventually. But Alina, did you want to like kind of introduce yourself, like who you are, to all the new listeners out there?
Yes, definitely. So hi everyone, my name is Alina Rahim. I go by she, her pronouns, and I'm one of the co-hosts alongside Jen, and I am Pakistani American, and I'm from Idaho. So that's my short, wonderful introduction.
Yeah, I completely forgot. I forgot to tell. I'm Filipino American, and I live in like the Chicagoland suburbs. Just a little quick background. So today we're going to be talking, as I mentioned before, about internalized sexism, and we're going to be talking about it more of like an overarching conversation because there's so much we can dive into and we don't have enough time. So we're just basically going to be talking about, where does it come from? How is it shown in our everyday lives? Basically like our personal experiences, and how does it hurt our community, and specifically Asian girls. So for any of you who do not know what internalized sexism is, it's the involuntary belief by girls and women that the lies, stereotypes, and myths about girls and women that are delivered to everyone in society are true. And it takes the form of more like sexist behavior and attitudes, and enacts it upon themselves and other girls and women. So we're going to dive really deep into it. And as I mentioned before, we would cover everything, but we don't have much time. So definitely later in the future, we're going to be having more episodes based on that. So the main question that we kind of have that we're going to be talking about is, where does internalized sexism derive from? Melina, do you kind of want to start?
Yeah, so I guess my experience in regards to internalized sexism takes like sort of two forms. And I'm South Asian, so I think I see it a lot in my own like South Asian community frequently. And so I see it in two forms, as I mentioned. The first would be like internalized sexism, like within myself. So that's sort of similar to like my experiences with like internalized like misogyny, things like that, where I'm essentially a product of like societal sort of influence in regards to sexism. And then that comes out in different forms of, you know, at times hating on other women, hating on other girls. So that sounds very abrupt. I know I really just jumped into that immediately, but that's sort of one, I think, form of it. And then another form of it takes place within my community as a whole. And I think that's more like, I want to say external. I don't know if that's the proper terminology for it, but it comes off that way, mainly because it comes off from like family members, other people within my own community, and things like that. So, and I think one example of this, so an influence is like cultural factors. So one example of this would be how a lot of the times from my experience, South Asian girls tend to have to act like second mothers in the family, or like the household. They get sort of all the household chores, tasks, things like that. And I don't know, Jen, do you want to speak a little bit on this? Do you have any experience with that from sort of your perspective?
Yeah, mine has always been, considering the fact that, you know, I'm Filipino American, I don't really have much family members externally. So it's more like internal sexism that kind of derives to how I sort of act upon today. But I've never really had that experience more so externally in terms of cultural factors, because, you know, I've never grew up surrounded by my Filipino culture as much. I was submersed in American culture and westernized culture. So as a result, like, I kind of have like internalized sexism just based on like the American culture, and specifically through like misogyny and mass media, television and cinema, especially how Asian women, especially, they have like heightened stereotypes that depict women as sort of like docile and subservient and otherwise sexualized. So I've always had that internalized sexism within myself, I guess you can say, growing up. So growing up and watching these types of shows, I potentially grew up to believe in those stereotypes within myself. Like, I always perceived myself as sort of like a docile or like sexualized being growing up, which is very sad when you think about it growing up, because I was only like 12 or 13. But due to especially westernized culture, that's the way we grew up and that's the way we kind of surrounded ourselves with. Like, you can't escape it. It's literally right in front of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think media is a good example of like external sort of forms of like internalized sexism, because I think for people who don't grow up in a community that's very ingrained in like their culture, in regards to like Asian culture specifically, I think media plays a large sort of role in that, as well as you mentioned with like stereotypes, things that people expect out of women, out of girls, especially from a young age.
Yeah, something that I was thinking too, that's kind of more internalized or externalized, is definitely modesty, especially in like the Asian culture, and modesty towards women in general, how they have to wear like specific clothing, specific makeup, how to, the way you look. And as a result, like, I've kind of had internalized sexism due to that. Like, if anyone, like, it's horrible to say, and this is like the completely disclaimer that I've definitely not, but like when I look at a person sometimes and I see like a more like provocative clothing, like, it's my internalized sexism to think that's bad, to think that's not the norm. And in reality, like, people should be dressing the way they want to dress, but like, due to me growing up and having like external pressures upon me saying like, oh, if you wear this certain type of tank top, or if you wear this certain types of shorts, you're going to be seen as otherwise sexualized, when in reality that should not be the case. We should be growing up the way we want to dress. But specifically, like, in the Asian culture, you've always just had to be like modest, had to be with great manners and etc. That, I don't know, it's just the way I grew up. I don't know if you have experience on that, Alina, but I definitely, as a result, like, my, even my fashion choices today are very modest, just because of the way I grew up.
I think that's an interesting thing that you bring up, because I'm not even joking, like, I want to say 4 days ago or so, my grandma messaged me about an Instagram post that I had of me wearing a tank top. I'm not even kidding. If you guys go on my Instagram page, you'll know exactly which one it is. But I think that's interesting you bring that up, because I have such a similar experience with that. Like, growing up, I've been told to dress modestly. I can't wear shorts, like, whenever we have like family coming over. I can't wear tank tops. I can't wear like certain dresses, whatever it is. And I think like everyone should be allowed to dress how they want, whether you want to dress modestly or whether you don't want to dress modestly. And I think culturally, it's kind of an interesting sort of battle that I've had, and I'm sure other sort of Gen Z Asian girls have had with their, and non-binary individuals have had with their, like, older generations, because their perspective on, like, dressing modestly is a form of, like, protecting their daughters, protecting their girls, protecting their children from unwanted in like air quotes, unwanted like attention. And in our form, like in our sort of more, I guess you could say, modern perspective, we approach dressing modestly and not modestly as a form of like choice. Like, we choose to do this, we choose to do that. So I think it's interesting, because that sort of experience, obviously I was a little bit like upset, because like I've been told to dress however ever since I was younger. Like, I think I do have more leniency compared to other people, but that was an upsetting experience, because it's sort of like this cultural clash I had, where I was, am I like being perceived a certain way by dressing this way? Is that attention that I want to have? Is that unwanted attention? So I think that was a difficult experience for me, because I don't know, I just feel like, I don't know if you've had experiences like this, but after like being called out, you could say, about like wearing a tank top on Instagram, it's like, it's a weird experience, because then you sort of question your worth and like whether you see yourself as like being sexualized, like if, whether you have your own perception of yourself being sexualized, or questioning how other people perceive you, depending on like what you wear. And then I think it's also fair to mention that like we shouldn't judge, and this is where like internalized sexism comes in, we shouldn't judge other Asian girls or women in our community for dressing modestly or not dressing modestly. I think that's also a role, because then we devalue these women and individuals and put their worth on what they are wearing rather than sort of the character of a person they are. And like from my experience, I've seen it in the South Asian community. It's very frequent where people would judge. When I say people, like a lot of the times it's obviously like men contribute to it a very large amount, but I think it's important to mention like the internalized sexism part of it, where girls and women too do it to each other. So like making comments on like what someone's wearing, whatever it may be, how they look, things like that. I think that sort of adds to like the culture of it. And I think that's very toxic as well. So
no, that's the same, very similar to me. Like sometimes my mom, like I would be wearing like a tank top and stuff and I would be walking outside and my mom would like make a comment or something. It's like, oh, you're showing your shoulders. And I'm like, like, I don't know if that's placed on me. Like, I'm not trying to sexualize myself at all. I'm just trying to wear whatever I want to wear. And as Alina mentioned before, everyone should be free to wear whatever they want to wear. Like, that's, and that's where I guess like internalized sexism comes in, because growing up, you've been surrounded with, I guess, this language of communication that like oppresses women upon their everyday language. Like, there's so much everyday conversation that is scrutinized to objectify women, derogatory terms, and kind of like invalidates the woman experience, specifically with the men in our community. But that doesn't go to show like the women in your community too. Like, we deal with such internalized sexism to the point where those words that are coming from the everyday language get placed upon us. And like, you kind of feel it at the same time. I don't know if you have experienced that with you, Alina, but I've definitely had moments where I'm like, oh my goodness, is this true? Like, I'm definitely not the way I want it to be, but I feel like language and communication has such a huge part in it too.
Yeah, I agree. I think in terms of like language, it adds to, as I mentioned before, like how, like I think language adds to how we put value and worth on women in regards to like how they dress, like associating like modesty with like, you know, innocence or like purity, and then associating like a tank top with like, oh, this girl's like a slut, or this girl's like a whore because she's wearing a tank top. You know what I mean? So I think there's like language definitely plays a role in it. And kind of going more to like the men in the community, I think we should also touch on that, because I know we were talking a lot about like women and sort of that internalized battle. I'm trying to think of examples because there's several that I have, but I think there have been sort of experiences where my extended male family members would make comments about like what I was wearing, or like sort of, or their sort of perspective was held and weighed at a high standard. So that would determine what I would have to wear, if that makes sense. I know I phrased it like kind of weirdly, but for example, like when I was younger, if I was wearing shorts, or even now, I'm told by my like older generation, like my grandmother, things like that, that I need to change into like jeans or something. And they can't be form-fitting jeans. They have to be loose jeans. And if you're wearing any of those, you can't wear a crop top with it. You have to wear a full shirt with it, things like that. So, but I would be told that, to do those things by my grandmother, because, oh, well, I am having men come over to my house. Does that make sense? So like determining the male sort of gaze and like applying that to the worth that I put on myself and like the perspective and how I'm going to be perceived is a very toxic sort of dynamic, and something that I think a lot of Asian women and like women in general and non-binary individuals have to like deal with. So I don't know, do you have anything you want to add on specifically like the male gaze into like this sort of conversation? Because I think that has a very large part in this for sure.
I think it's like shifting more so to clothing, but general stereotypes that are being placed, like for example, like the male gaze in which, like, for example, like I would be playing sports or something. And for example, I think maybe even a few days ago, I was playing basketball with a few of like the boys in my neighborhood, and we were all playing, I know, sports girl or whatever. And a bunch of the boys were, you could see in the male gaze in which like, they don't believe that I could like shoot a hoop. They don't believe I can like guard. They don't believe I can like, to shoot a three-pointer. That's just how it is. And as a result, like my internalized sexism and what I believe goes into me, and I feel very insecure in the mere fact that it's happened. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, in which those comments have been so oppressive and they tie you down that like your internalized sexism comes to you and you're like, oh my gosh, this is not how I should perceive myself at all. But it's just external and internal factors that all come into play and directly like change your personality and make you not want to be the woman that you are, like this amazing woman that like wants to do all these things. But it's just so hard because there's so many external and internal factors that come into play with that. And I don't know, I know you play sports too. I know you play fencing. So I don't know how that works for you. Do you feel that sort of like internalized sexism within that sport specifically?
Yeah, so I have a couple examples. So get ready. No, I'm kidding. With fencing specifically, I went to a club. Well, I don't really fence anymore, but when I did, long story short, Anyways, so when I did go to my fencing club, I was the only competitive female fencer. So I was surrounded by men. I mean, I should say boys because they're like children. Literally, they acted so immature. Anyways, so I was surrounded by boys the entire time. So since I was the only girl, I had a sort of different experience, and I've been questioned like my sort of strength, my skill in that space. But I've never been questioned in regards to like fencing within my own like family or like extended family community, because I think I'm like the only person in the family who's fenced like for like 11 years. So they never really questioned that. But I've had it outside by like not Asian men. But some examples that are more specific that I think can probably resonate with some people. So for the people who are listening, I have 2 Star Wars posters behind me, and I promise this is relevant. I recently started watching Star Wars, and I put up this poster because I was like, oh, I love Star Wars. It's so fun. It's such a good film, like universe, whatever.
I love Star Wars.
It's so good. It's so good. Guys, I told Jen this before we started recording. I literally bought a life-size cardboard cutout Kylo Ren off Amazon yesterday. It was like midnight, and I bought it, and I was like, this is what I'm going to decorate my room.
Man. It's so attractive in that movie. I don't care what you say.
Adam Driver, guys. No, I bought an Adam Driver phone case too. It's the same time. I'll give us a little haul next time I record. But anyway, so I'm not even playing. Okay, so back to my story. Sorry. So I put this poster up specifically, the one of R2-D2 having his little moment, and then Leia's like, I'm trying to describe it to the listeners. You'll just have to look at a highlight or something. So I put that up, and I was about halfway into the original films, so I was watching chronological order, and my brother comes in, and my brother is a very big feminist. I've tried to sort of brainwash him, it's probably not the right terminology, into being like hella, you know, progressive, and this was a very much man moment. So he walks in and he looks at my poster. He's like, do you even know what that means? And I turned around. I was like, are you seriously trying to tell me that I don't know what that poster means?
Trying to mansplain to me right now?
He did. And I turned around. I was like, Hassan, his name's Hassan. I was like, why are you trying to mansplain Star Wars to me right now? And he's like, oh, I didn't mean to mansplain it. I was just saying. And then he got so like defensive. You know how guys get all like, oh, I guess I'm the worst person in the world. I'm just so stupid. I'll just go cry. Like things like that. He started doing that, and he came back like 20 minutes later and he apologized to me. He was like, I'm sorry if I mansplained to you. I didn't mean to do it that way. And I was like, so that just shows like, anyways, trying to make the story make sense. So that sort of just proves that like, I think things that are like traditionally in air quotes, like associated with men are not acceptable for like women to be interested in, because it's just so, I don't know what it is, but there's just like a lot of internalized sexism in that, because like, even for me, I was like, oh, I shouldn't put this poster up until I understand like all of Star Wars, or if I've seen every single movie, every single show, whatever. But like, if I like it, I'm going to put it up. Like, it shouldn't matter, or like, it shouldn't, like, we don't need to gatekeep like an entire film series. Like, we do not need to do that right now. So I've had a lot of experiences with that. Another example, I wore a Wu-Tang Clan shirt to like a family gathering. If you're brown, or even if you're Asian, you know how those family gatherings are. Hella people, whatever. So I walk in, I say salam, I say hi to everyone, because you know, gotta make your rounds. So I do that, and then I see my male cousin, who's about 20, 21 years old, and he sees me wearing a Wu-Tang Clan shirt, and he's like, do you even listen to Wu-Tang Clan? And then I turn around, I start listing off all of the names, all of their like, and I start listing off like their album, like, and he's like, oh yeah, how many people are in there? And I said exactly how many people are in Wu-Tang Clan. And he's like, even I didn't know that, I guess. And I'm like, yeah. So, Jen,
we should not be gatekeeping like the most popular films and artists ever. That just goes to show, I guess we could kind of shift topics as a result. That kind of shows just the double standards in society that like, men can like Star Wars, men can like Wu-Tang Clan, but women can't. Like, why can't we love the same things that is so predominantly male dominated? That I just don't understand that. And I guess we could kind of go into double standard of things. And that's one of the main things that comes and derives from internalized sexism. and something that we could kind of bring up is, especially in the Asian community, especially in, I guess my mom raised me to be in a more Filipino household, and something that was primarily addressed was like curfew times, dating, dieting especially. So I guess one personal experience I had is curfew time, and I don't want to blast my mom, no hate against her, but sometimes I would ask, can I stay out till maybe past like 11 p.m. and my parents would be like, no you can't. And I always asked why, because I was just a very curious girl, and I was like, well, and my dad described it, he was like, well, it's late at night, anyone can get you at that time, you could be kidnapped, you could be, you know, all those things. But then when my brothers asked to sleep over and stuff, like at someone's house, which by the way, I can't sleep over at anyone's houses. Yep. My parents allowed my brothers. Then that's just like, my parents allowed my brothers to go sleep over while I couldn't. And I'm already 18 and I still ask, and they said no. And my brothers are 11 and 12. So that just goes to show the double standards of the Asian society, where I understand, because I know Asian culture is predominantly mainly to like protect our Asian women. Like that's how it is. But you could just see the double standards. And that goes to show for all, like, I've talked to like so many POC, especially, that face those experiences. So that's one of my double standards. And also dieting too. I think because Filipino food is so much food, like there's kare-kare, there's sinigang, there's so many options. But compared to women and men in my society, like I would be eating it and they're like, oh, you can't eat too much or else you'll get fat. And then the boys just start eating like ravenously. And then my titos and titas, which is aunts and uncles in Tagalog, they say like, oh, eat more, eat more, eat more. But for women, you just get like this little plate and then they're like, that's enough. That's enough for you. I'm like, the double standards of everything. And that just like goes to show like internalized sexism that's external and internal. I bet Alina's like crowding me in the background. I bet she has so many experiences on that too.
I do indeed. You were talking about like Filipino food. I was like, girl, I'm getting so hungry now. So, oh my God. Curfews, that's a big thing. I want to say, okay, so before I get into any of my experiences, I do want to mention that my parents are relatively more like lenient and progressive now. I think that's something that I like am grateful to have. But like when I was like a little younger, they were not that way. Like my parents were a lot more religious. They're more conservative, more strict. It wasn't until I started challenging their views that they started getting a little less, you know, whatever. My sister also helped with that. I will give her credit. So anyways, yeah, there is definitely a double standard that I see. I think I have a lot of cousins, but I'm very close with my two older male cousins. It's always been those two and my sister and me who are like, we call ourselves the older four because we were like literally like the older four cousins in like the entire family. They're basically like my brothers to me. And I've noticed so many double standards when it comes to mine and my sister's experiences and their experiences. For example, like dating is a really big one. I only have dated one person in my life, and my sister's also only like kind of dated one person, like barely. And yes, we were like relatively like allowed to, but it wasn't until like we got way older where they were like, and when I say like older, like my sister's like 20 years old, until they were like more lenient with that. But I look at like the experiences that my male cousins have had, and it's so different because of how much more leniency that they were given because they were men, and how sort of my home environment, and as you mentioned, Jen, was more of like the Asian culture is to protect Asian women and girls and, you know, protect them, take care of them, rather than sort of addressing the like double standards and creating this sort of more equal dynamic between men and women. So anyways, in regards to like curfew stuff, yeah, I'm not allowed to do sleepovers ever. I'm 17 turning 18, still not allowed to. My brother's allowed to, he's 14. He's been allowed to since he was like 11 years old, which I understand like the concerns that come with sort of that, but at the same time, it's like you can't protect your daughters forever. Like they're like, you're not going to be able to sort of get rid of all of the dangers in the world by being strict in regards to curfew experiences, whatever. Like there's no way around like dangers, if that makes sense. Like that's my perspective, at least. I think you can't 100% protect your children, your daughter specifically, from being harmed. And then dieting and food is also a big one. I can't really speak from personal experience because I've just always been a very small framed person. The comments that I've gotten around like body image stuff has been, oh, you need to eat more, you're very skinny, which obviously is an uncomfortable comment, but I don't want to compare that to like the opposite end of the spectrum where it's like, oh, you need to diet, whatever, because those are not the same at all. Completely different experiences. But I've seen it with my female cousins. For example, I'm really close with my cousin. She's my age and we all live like in the same area. So I've seen this like growing up. A lot of my female cousins have been body shamed like relentlessly to such a large extent that it's so ingrained and it's like hurtful to see that, because their body sort of body shaming experiences have come from, oh, you need to like, you're so big, you have big thighs, you're like so large, you need to like eat less. What Jen's like, no, literally Jen, I was looking at old pictures of when I was younger with my cousins, and I was just looking at them and I remembered how people in my family, extended family, of course, would make comments on their bodies and be like, wow, you need to put your daughter on a diet, she's getting so big. And I was looking at these pictures. This child was literally not overweight, not big, nothing. Like I was looking at these images, like this is just a normal, healthy child. Why are you passing comments on this child's body, this literal child, like this 5-year-old's body? I don't know. I can't explain it very well because I don't want to like say names or anything, but it's upsetting to see that. And a lot of the times these comments have come from like male uncles. And that's been like the most disgusting thing that I've ever witnessed in my life. So that's part of what makes me very upset about like internalized sexism in our culture, is it just comes in so many different like forms. Like we literally have talked about several different examples from like curfews, dieting, whatever. And like, it's, I don't know, it's just everywhere, basically.
As Elena mentioned before, like it's everywhere in modern day culture. So I guess we can kind of shift to how it is like in the modern day and age. And one example that we do have is sexism and wage discrimination in the Southeast Asian tech field. I thought this was so interesting. Basically, someone stated that rule number 10, we usually don't invest in female CEOs. And he says, it's not because of any kind of prejudice. Just think about it carefully. Besides giving birth to children, what can women do better than men? Nothing. He added it was like an added blog post from the VC firm summarizing Liu's speech. Basically, everywhere in modern day society, internalized sexism comes in many different forms. It comes in the workplace, it comes at home, it's not even just like the Asian culture. It's predominantly just everywhere. It's everywhere. And there's so many different examples we have. Like we literally have a whole doc of so many different examples because it's just so crazy to me. But I just thought that quote was so interesting. I don't want to butcher it, but it's Liu Mingzhang from Jingbell's investment, an early stage VC firm, in a public presentation last week in Beijing. And I just thought it highlights all the internalized sexism that comes into play, that that quote just gives so many double standards, so many issues that are being brought up, especially about women in general. And I just, no, no.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because I think like we were previously talking about more like intimate settings that have these internalized sexism sort of experiences. But this is like the result of it. If you want to like, because people are always like, oh, like me, like I was sitting with my family the other day, like my aunts and stuff and my cousins, and it was just all girls and we were just talking, and my aunt goes like, oh, you guys, like she made a comment about like my cousin's body, whatever. And my cousin's like obviously upset. She's like wanting to like, and she's dealt with that her whole life. So she's like, okay, whatever. And my aunt notices that and she's like, oh, you guys are too sensitive. You don't understand. We're just trying to help you. You will not be able to survive the real world if you are not okay with people commenting these things, whatever. And I think comments like that make me upset because they think that their comments passing on someone's body don't have any actual effect in society. Like it's just a simple, oh, thickening your skin sort of moment. But like what Jen brought up is literally an example of the result of these things. People are looking at women and seeing them as inferior to men because of things like body shaming, like diet culture, everything we basically talked about right now is what adds to men seeing women as inferior to them. And so I think the sort of like impact of that is what Jen sort of brought up, is like the sort of wage gap and women being underrepresented in like political areas, things like that. And so that's like the larger, more, I think, grander impact of this, is that women are not given the resources that they need to sort of better themselves in society and like sort of grow in society because of things like that, things that start in within like the family home and the family dynamic and the sort of environment. And so I think that's a big factor of it, is if we are not uplifting our women, our Asian girls within our own family environment dynamic, then we do not set them up for life properly. Like, by commenting on someone's body, you're not thickening their skin. By giving them confidence in their body, by telling them that they are beautiful, even if they don't fit a Eurocentric beauty standard or they don't check this box of beauty, that's what's actually, by telling them that they're, just because they don't fit a certain beauty standard, they're still beautiful and worthy, is what's actually going to help them survive in society, not by body shaming them, if that makes sense. So I don't know. I just think like the approach that a lot of sort of Asian culture in families that like we are taking, it's not impactful at all. It's just so dated. And we need to, I don't know, we just need to address that, because then we end up in places like that guy's quote, which is basically that women can't do anything other than birth and like give birth to children and like reproduce. Like, that's it. Like, I don't, it's gross. Anyways, I'm getting mad now.
Yeah, just to give some other statistics too. Something that we did put down in our document is that there's a lot of symptoms of like the Japanese gender problem. So this is another example. It has the third highest gender wage gap, which for any of you that do not know what the wage gap is, it's the difference between male and female median wage among the advanced OECD countries, only ahead of Estonia and South Korea. And only 13% of Japanese women hold management positions, the second lowest, and after South Korea. In 2017, women only occupied 5% of the seats on the boards of listed companies, and women are also underrepresented in the political arena, accounting for only 10% of the members of the lower house of the Diet Parliament. So there's so much, as we mentioned before, like these are statistics, these are proven facts that have people served up and through data that is true. And then it's crazy, and it's making me mad too. But as Elena mentioned before, something that we do want to combat from internalized culture and how we combat it is also educating each other and opening up conversations with our parents. And we should recognize that this is extremely hard to do. I could never come up to my parents and say like, you are like a little bit of sexist too, and especially about clothing and stuff. It's very hard to do. It doesn't have to be a fighting match. Understanding just that this is important and it's affecting you, and also like confiding in other female figures are also really important, and it also will empower you as well. So there's so many things that can come about sort of combating internalized culture, but I think the key thing is education. We should encourage our women in gaining an academic background and seeking out higher education. We should have changes in the workplace, eliminating negative biases. We could do that through, I guess, I don't know, for my example, but sort of like workshops and other things that can kind of abat that, and normalize non-binary people in the workspace too. We should recognize every woman that is working at home, working moms especially. My mom is a working mom. She has so many kids and so many things she needs to do. And we should recognize that. We should celebrate it instead of pining each other down. There's just so much that we can try to fight against it. But those are some of...
Yeah, I agree. And I think also besides like education, I think one step that we need to take before that is definitely like instilling like confidence in women. Because I kind of touched on that a little bit before. But I think by sort of creating a toxic dynamic in Asian households, in regards to like double standards with men and male counterparts, I think that sort of dynamic needs to be changed. And instead we need to value women based off of their sort of character and their passions and their goals and their drive, rather than like what they wear or how they look or how much they eat, how much they do, whatever, right? I think instilling confidence in Asian girls is important, because then we end up, with better and more equitable results in regards to like what some of the stats that Jen sort of mentioned previously. And I think that's something that I've noticed within myself is as I mentioned before, I'm very privileged to be in a household that supports me. And we have our faults, as I mentioned, like the curfew stuff, whatever. We have our faults, but within my own immediate family, I've always been supported. I've always been given confidence. I've always been told to seek whatever I want. And if I wasn't given that, then I think that's where I would have like sort of fallen off the sort of track of gaining higher education and wanting to succeed in life. So I think confidence is a big part of it, and just worth, and telling your daughters and your sort of, and telling Asian girls that they are worthy. Because I think in our Asian culture, in regards to internalized sexism, we disregard that a lot. As I mentioned before, Jen and I kind of went into this, but we put worth and value of someone based off of how they look, how they dress, whatever. So I think that's also important. And definitely, as Jen mentioned, education is a big part of it. We need to support our women and have them seek higher education. My mom's also a working mom. So I see how difficult it is for her, and I definitely don't make it easy. So I apologize, mom, for all of this stuff that I've caused. We need to support working moms, and, you know, we just need to uplift one another. I feel like we're just like so positive and like support and everything. But I do want to recognize that it is hard to sort of open up conversation about this within your own family. So if that's not a step that you are able to take right now, that's totally okay. Just, I think the biggest sort of thing that I can, like, piece of advice, if you're not able to like sort of open up dialogue in your own family, is to constantly remind yourself that you are worthy, and sort of, and that's like a very difficult task, but I think at the end of the day, like, you are your biggest cheerleader, and like, you're the only person who will stand by you till the day you die. So it's important to be the person who, so it's important to be the only person in your life who you, oh my gosh, girl, why can I not talk? It's important to support yourself, because you're the only person in your life who is able to see your true worth and your true value, because other people have biases. So anyways, I don't know, Jen, do you have anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah, before we wrap up, something that you did mention and I forgot to elaborate on it is like integrating confidence in such an early age, especially the pivotal age of development. I don't know, I took AP Psych, so I think like ages like 3 to maybe 10 is so important, because you've grown up with just your family as sort of like your background and what you know. And if you're surrounded by just like derogatory terms, negative comments, then that's how you're going to be placed upon you. That's what internalized sexism is believing those myths, those stereotypes that are integrated into especially like the pivotal age of your development. But I know that isn't what happens. There's so many external factors, and growing up, it just happens to you. You don't let it happen. Like, why would you forcibly put it upon yourself? But as Lena mentioned before, being confident, and what I do specifically, I don't know if this helps me or anyone, but I put affirmations, I write them down in my journal. I say like, I'm confident, I'm strong, and like exact opposite things that like people used to say to me. And just integrate it in my brain as much as I can. And it sort of empowers me. And just so you know, every listener that's out there, Dear Asian Girl is always such a good outlet, a good source for you to empower yourself, a good way to believe in yourself, because we are all three of us, me, Alina, Naina, and all the team, loves you guys so very much. We support everything that you do. We understand what everyone's going through through these relatable stories. Hopefully you guys can relate to this, that this is something that we strongly believe in, and it's something that we all face, and we all wanna build this community together and uplift each other. And that's what this whole podcast is for, is to bring awareness and kind of combat this change. So I know we didn't cover everything that we do. There's definitely going to be more episodes on internalized sexism because there's so much to uncover, so much to unravel. But we will include research stuff in the description if you want to know more about internalized sexism, our experiences, and et cetera. We have Instagram, Dear Asian Girl, if you want to check that out. That's where all our highlights are going to be. So that's awesome. If you want to leave a review, it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you listen to podcasts. And Alina, did you want to say one final thing before we head off?
I did want to say that Jen is wearing a Pitbull sweatshirt. And I think she's excited.
I completely forgot to mention that. Also, we accept Pitbull stans.
Yes, we recently found out that we both love Pitbull. And I think that's I should have worn my Pitbull shirt today, but I don't know where it is, but next time I record, I'll bring it because it's so funny. Oh my God, I love it.
Girl boss moment.
Yes, definitely. Anyways, stan Pitbull, unless he's problematic. I don't know, he probably is, but anyways, probably. His music is pretty good, but, but if he's problematic, he's canceled. But Jen's wearing a Pitbull sweatshirt, and I think that's important to mention. But yeah, just basically what Jen said, make sure to reach out if you guys need anything. At least my DMs are open. I'm sure Jen's are as well, if that's okay with her. Yeah, she says yes. So reach out to any of us if you have any questions or just need to rant. And I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this episode. And make sure to stick around for some of our other ones. We kind of cover some things similar to like internalized sexism as well. So if you want to hear more about this topic, I'm sure it will come up in the future. But yeah, with that being said, we will see y'all in the next one.
Want more of Dear Asian Girl? You can find us everywhere on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. We're on everything. Can't get enough? Subscribe, follow, rate, review to get all the updates on the latest at DAG. Let us know your feedback and what we can do to improve. We also can be found on Instagram. Follow us at Dear Asian Girl to receive updates about our latest episodes and fun facts about the host. We'd love for you to reach out. DAG, Dear Asian Girl, a podcast dedicated to share the stories of Asian girls everywhere. For the Asian girl, by the Asian girl.